Welcome to another episode of the Cinema Guys, where we love to talk movies. After a brief hiatus, we are back, and in this episode, we're going to talk the new sci-fi movie, Arrival. We will also give you a few flick picks and discuss one trailer that we saw that has us all intrigued.
Intrigued.
As always, we'll finish it off with some home recommendations. Let's get things started. I'm Brad, and with me are my fellow cinema guys, Justin and Michael.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Michael.
You guys got it this time.
Yay!
But in all seriousness, I'm Justin. Brad, how are you today?
I am good. Glad to be back after a little bit of time off.
Yep, holidays, you know.
The holidays. Did you guys watch any good movies over the holidays? Like as far as old holiday movies? Thanksgiving. Is there a Thanksgiving movie?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I think Christmas Story is kind of a Thanksgiving movie, right?
It's a Christmas story.
I know, but it comes on Thanksgiving Day, like all day, right?
No, no. Christmas Day, all day.
Oh, is that what it is? All right, never mind. I don't have cable.
Neither do I.
That's my excuse.
Mine's always Charlie Brown, and we know how you feel about Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Him and the Brits, their animation, I can't stand them.
Yeah, but he gets jelly beans and popcorn.
Who gets jelly beans?
It's the worst Thanksgiving.
Charlie Brown.
I don't think I saw that one. He gets jelly beans?
Yeah, they set up a Thanksgiving dinner, and then he can't cook because he's a little kid.
Right.
And so all he can make is toast.
Right.
So toast, popcorn, and jelly beans.
Yep.
And I bet Snoopy flied around in his thing and shot the guy, right? That's always a thing. And he always in there flying and shooting the Red Baron.
I don't think he's the World War One flying ace this time.
All right. Thus concludes our Charlie Brown segment.
All right. Well, let's get things rolling with a little something we like to call flick picks.
Flick picks!
This is where we give you some of our picks, which could be a list, top or bottom, for a category of our choosing or something else. Which this time I think we're going to do, since we just saw Arrival, which is a very, how would you put it, a smart sci-fi, I think is how we said.
Like hard sci-fi.
Hard sci-fi, smart sci-fi.
Pick three that you would put in a smart sci-fi category. Something that just isn't stuff blowing up or like.
So not like Hot Tub Time.
Not like a Michael Bay movie or a.
Oh, you love those Michael Bay movies.
Oh, I love Michael Bay movies.
So Transformers is not smart sci-fi.
Not smart sci-fi.
So what's your power top?
My power top. Ready? This first one's also in my top 10 movies of all time. 12 Monkeys. I love 12 Monkeys.
That one's a good one.
Have you watched the television show?
No, I have not. It's not on any mechanism that I am able to watch TV shows on. Netflix, basically. It's not on that. No, I love the way they use time in 12 Monkeys. It's the same way they use time in Planet of the Apes, which coincidentally both have monkeys. But
they have great apes and.
Right.
Because there's no monkeys there. I mean, you got chimpanzees, there's no monkeys, that's right. Gorillas.
But it's like the circle time effect, which that's always continually going, so there's no like bouncing in and out until Mark Wahlberg came and ruined it.
I just want to insult the great ape community. You know, they're very
apparently,
you might be listening to this podcast.
In the Mark Wahlberg version, he gets mad when they say monkey, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be an insult.
Tim Roth's character. No, I like 12 Monkeys. I think it's super smart. I remember watching it in college and being sort of awed at what's going on and like amazed when you see the end. You're like, what? This is crazy. Loved it. Second, Donnie Darko. Again, because I know it's not as like smart as like Contact or something, but when I saw Contact was like super smart. I swear I heard the term Occam's Razor for the first time ever. I went to Bible college. We didn't have, science. Science wasn't a thing.
It's not as smart as you jumped right out of Contact.
But again, Donnie Darko, I remember sitting in my college dorm having so many conversations about, like, oh, what do you think of this? Or what if this? Or what if that? And loved it. And then last is Primer. Have you seen Primer?
I have not seen Primer.
Primer is... You never heard of Primer?
No, I haven't.
It was like... I want to say it was like a Sundance film, a short film that got... and I think it was just floating around the internet. And then... It popped up as a movie on like Netflix or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it deals with time travel.
On a very real basis.
Like real basis based on even like real theory and stuff like that, right? It's crazy.
So your three movies deal with time, it sounds like. You kind of a theme
there. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I like to theme everything. They do, kind of.
And Back to the Future 3.
And Back to the Future 3. It actually, as soon as you said the way they deal with time, it sort of reminds me of The Prestige. Mm-hmm. With how, like, there's so many, like, kind of dead bodies as he, like, renews himself or warps himself, whatever, or transports himself, teleports himself. But yeah, in Primer, it's cool because they're like, okay, we want to go 3 days into the past. So, but it's real time. They're going to be gone 3 days and they're going to lose 3 days. So they have to, like, go to a hotel, sit there for 3 days and make sure that they do absolutely nothing. They don't leave the hotel for 3 days. So that gives them a 3 day gap to where no one was interacted with. Like, they literally just sat in the hotel and did nothing. So it wouldn't affect, you know, which is kind of cool. Anyway, it was a good movie. You should see it. I like low budgeted. Like, there's nothing like, no lights or. Or like sounds, or like
no, there's no CGI. Trucks.
Yes. What's yours, Michael?
Well, Justin and Brad, I'll go with Moon as my first one. Duncan Jones' first movie. Great little sci-fi picture about a man alone on a
moon
space station, operating and trying to figure out what's going on. And it's got a nice little twist ending. It's a good little one-person show with Sam Rockwell, who's one of my favorite actors. Very enjoyable sci-fi film. I'll go with a less sci-fi kind of horror film. I'm going to go with Pi, Darren Aronofsky's first film.
Oh, huh. You put that in that's horror? That's
a good one. I mean, it has horror.
It has that feel.
It has that kind of David Lynch-y, surrealist mentality, but it deals with scientific things kind of in a very real-world setting. And I always felt that was a good mind-bending movie. You know, he's touched base with that kind of in a couple other pictures. The Fountain, to a certain degree. I feel like I need to really go back and rewatch that movie. It's
The Fountain?
Been a long time. So I'm not going to put that on my list because I liked it, but I didn't feel like
I absorbed. And there's no Pie in The Fountain. Cherry, cobbler, anything.
I mean, I love Pie.
I mean, I know you love Pie.
An argument between Cake and Pie. I mean, Pie's got the...
Cake was a good movie.
It was a band.
No, it was a movie with
Layer Cake.
Layer Cake's with I've seen that. No, there's one called just Cake. I'm pretty sure Jennifer Aniston's in it.
Cake, The Story of Sweets.
Something like that. I'm gonna look it up while you're talking. What's your third one?
Third one, I'll go classic. 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Ooh, the movie we're gonna talk about today. A lot of people kind of relate it to a little 2001. Cool. / Contact with Jodie Foster, which was a good movie.
Yeah, I thought of Contact as I was watching.
Boom, Cake, Jennifer Aniston, 2014. Oh, I know my cake and pie movies.
Well, I'll jump into mine. Probably my top one, if we had to rate it, which we're not rating these, we're just kind of giving a list, would be Blade Runner.
Which a new one's coming out soon, right?
Yes, from the director of Arrival. Which we will get into our thoughts on Arrival, but
will Harrison Ford?
I think it's in good hands. I was really concerned at first. Yes, Harrison Ford is in it, and Ryan Gosling.
Ooh, perfect combo.
My next pick would be Children of Men, which I think is a fantastic movie, directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
That's good, and it has
Clive Owen.
He's a sexy man.
It has. Probably one of the most tense single-shot action pieces I've seen in a movie. That it's just amazing. And my next one, I would put District 9 up there.
District 9 was fun.
I think it's really a fantastic movie on the whole, almost like a concentration camp-esque type thing, kind of just collecting all these aliens and keeping them in this.
I think it had something to do with immigration. Maybe.
Maybe
some slums that may or may not exist in South Africa.
Exactly.
May have had something to do with healthcare. I don't know. Just guessing. It's really insightful.
So before we move on, let's take a quick pause here and say any one of our listeners out there can suggest something to our show. Just send us a message on Twitter, Facebook, or email, or you can now call the Cinema Guys at 513-409-GUYS.
And we promise to always answer every time.
We also accept ravens.
You can't send a raven.
And if your suggestion makes a cut, we will put it on the show. You can also become a patron of the show at patreon.com/thecinemaguys and have your suggestion get on the show as well as other great things that we have on there. All right, moving on. Let's jump into a piece we like to call Trailer Trash. Trailer Trash. This is where we give you our thoughts on recent trailer we watched. This episode, we only have one. And that's for a movie called A Cure for Wellness, directed by Gore Verbinski, who did the pirate movies Rango, The Ring, The Mexican, just to name a few of his movies.
I love The Mexican.
El Camino.
I love The Mexican. It's in my top three romantic comedies of all time.
Pierce Brosnan?
No.
Brad Pitt.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Brad Pitt, Pierce Brosnan.
Randolph Galfini, the guy from Sopranos.
I love that. I think every episode we've had something that's in his top something of all time.
Well, that's in my top three rom-coms of all time. It is awesome. I love it.
I hated Rango.
I think we talked about this.
We did discuss this in our...
I hated Rango.
If you go back to our Magnificent Seven episode, you can listen to what Justin thinks about Rango. As I told him, he needs to go back and rewatch it. So, The Cure for Wellness. This just trailer, after seeing it, I honestly didn't know what was going on, but I was intrigued nonetheless. It had a very, like, Brazil / Dark City Pink Floyd video thing going on.
Maybe a little Shutter Island stuff in there.
I was thinking a little Fringe, because, you know, the tank.
Isolation tank.
Visually, I think it looks like it could be pretty great.
It looks like a well-made film.
Like The Cell with Jennifer J-Lo.
That was a decent...
It looked kind of like that. It was kind of like awesome. Freaky, yeah. You know, kind of surreal.
My biggest complaint of the trailer, we've discussed this, is the... What everybody is doing nowadays is taking a popular song and slowing it down to...
Yeah. This maybe little, getting a child slow, to sing like, it.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. They did it with the Ghostbusters song. Dun, 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 with the new Ghostbusters. They took it and made it real slow.
Maleficent, they did it. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. What was the song in Maleficent?
I Know You, the song from the movie, but Lana Del Rey sang it and it became very sultry and slow, and I'm not going to sing it. When we saw
Kubo and the Two Strings, where they took the guitar gently weeps, but I thought they did a good job with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it made sense.
I don't necessarily dislike the effect, but you're right, they're using it so much.
Yeah, it's getting overused, I feel.
Because the Age of Ultron one, I remember being like, that is really creepy, having the kids singing the I Got No Strings to Hold Me Down, and you're seeing this violence ensue on the screen.
But A Cure for Wellness comes out in February, and I'm pretty sure we will see that and discuss it then. Come join the Cinema Guys for our first public event. Come hang out with us as we throw back to a simpler time when parodies were straightforward and the humor easy to digest. We'll be watching Spaceballs at the Red Tree Art Gallery and Coffee Shop in Cincinnati, January 12th at 8 p.m. May the Schwartz be with you. So, time to jump into the real meat of our episode, as I guess you could say. Before we discuss, I'm going to say we are going to get into spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie or don't want any details ruined, I would come back after seeing the movie. You've been warned. Okay, so recently we went to see Arrival, which stars Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, and Forest Whitaker.
Can you believe Amy Adams was an alien the entire time?
The whole time! And Forest Whitaker wasn't!
And it wasn't a real alien. It was
the director also directed a movie I loved, Sicario. Mm-hmm. Which was a fantastic movie. And he is going to be doing the Blade Runner 2049, which, after seeing Arrival, has me excited. I wasn't excited because, you know, making a sequel to Blade Runner, not being Ridley Scott, I wasn't sure. But
hey, but Ridley Scott's off doing that Alien movie, which looks awesome.
True. As long as it's better than Prometheus.
Prometheus wasn't that bad. I enjoyed Prometheus. I'm not going to lie. I had a good time with it.
This is better than Predators versus Aliens.
This is way true.
True statement.
It had some good ideas. Plus, it had Michael Fassbender in an awesome role.
So, moving on to Arrival.
I loved Arrival. it goes into when, so when we saw it, the theater let out and everyone, no one said a word, like all the way to the parking lot. It was like so heavy, like heavy, heavy. Like I was just like, and I didn't expect that. I think I expected it to be good. I was like, okay, everyone likes it. It's going to be good. I like Amy Adams. Seems like they're taking a new take on alien communication, but I did not expect what I got.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I didn't expect that at all. Especially the way it started off with her having a child as she slowly saw her child get sick and die.
Like, yeah, and
I'm like, oh, this is how this movie's starting? All right, let's
go. And the whole time, you're viewing her from a lens of, this is something that's happened in your past and you're a broken person yes. now because you lost a yes, daughter exactly. and probably a husband at some point. And then to come to find out that that hasn't even happened yet, which that was one of the most amazing things for me is how I viewed her as broken. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, wait a minute, she wasn't broken the whole time. Why did I view her that way? Yeah, but well, I just assumed that.
They did a great job thinking she was broken, and through all this, you were thinking these were all flashbacks when she right. kept seeing the child. Mm-hmm. And when you find out that she was seeing the future, you're just like, what? Mm-hmm.
Which comes in an interesting conversation about fate and what we can and cannot do and free will and...
And yeah. it is, yeah, one of those, like, first thing I thought coming out of the theater was, if I was in this situation, you know, I have two children right now, knowing what she knew, could I still go on? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I could. It would be very hard. What, like, I love my children, and
I had a lot of questions, like, as far as why was it important for her to have or not have this child? As far as just...
I don't think it was important
but she to just have chose
a
child.
I think for the aliens, as far as their big piece, for her to have this gift, as it was, the other piece was bringing the entire world together.
Right. Do you think it was odd that they went through a whole charade, a whole game of these 12 locations and only giving out certain pieces of information to certain cultures? Which, you know, eventually would, oh, once they all came together, they all have the information together.
Yeah.
But it seems like it could have been way easier for them just to come down and reveal it to all.
I think it was all part of their game. They wanted to give it the pieces all around to see if they were going to work together or not.
But then, that was another question I have. What was the knowledge they were given? Was it the knowledge to come together? Or was it the knowledge to do something because we know that, you know, thousands of years in the future, whatever they gained that day was going to give them some sort of technology that would let them have a weapon that would help them in the future? Is that what we are gathering to?
Mm-hmm. So the way I took the synopsis or how the plot worked is basically like they needed us to do something
in the future.
But the only way they could do this, they had to come back or come to us right now and teach us their language, which would allow us to then communicate. But the way their language works, and it's represented by the circle language, is that everything to them isn't a circle. It's a continuous loop. So they don't see time as linear. So we see time as linear as from point A to point B, which is represented by us seeing the daughter at the beginning of the movie and assuming that that is the past.
Right.
Versus the way they view time is in a circular, so everything is occurring at one moment in time. So you have no predestination, or you have no free will. Everything is predetermined. And so that event would have happened regardless. You know, this was how it was supposed to happen. The aliens know that she is the one who's going to bring language to the world. She can't do that unless they come down to Earth at this specific time to relay that message, and then she teaches everyone else on Earth, which then also connects everyone as one unifying time. Because as with her being able to then view the future and the past as one, she can also communicate with the aliens directly through
right.
her mind. So that then combines everyone in the world into one uniform mind.
What do you think of the idea that language, vocabulary has that much, like that's her phrase in the beginning, is how much power vocabulary has. Like if you have a word for something, then it exists, but if you don't have a word, like for instance, if you don't have a word for war or violence, mm-hmm. then you're prone to not be violent or aggressive because you don't have a vocabulary for it. Because her big thing is
So, of course, then when she gets a vocabulary for eternal language, she can now process eternally.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that theory? It has a real name. I think it's a real theory.
I mean, linguists is a very strong theory. I mean, you have to have words and expressions to communicate. And, you know, different languages represent it differently. I mean, you know, you look at the English language, and it's a very simplistic, almost backwards language. You know, we do a lot of things different than most other languages. We don't have a lot of differentiations between male and female words. There's less context. You know, we can have one word that is the same, but potentially could mean different contexts. I mean, you have to look at, like, the Japanese language, where they'll have different variations on the same word that expresses different meanings. And that's only something that you can understand if you understand their language.
Right.
Otherwise, if you're reading in, like, subtitles, you're only going to see,
right,
you know, that one word, which is the same word, but it's expressed in a different manner based upon how they say it.
Mm. And, yeah, depending on the order that they put it or whatnot. Just like in this movie, with the circle, it was depending on, like, different flares that kind of came off around. Can mean one thing compared to another.
Right. What about, as you said, that reminded me, like, I'm glad they redeemed in the end, but for a while I was like, man, they are not painting the Japanese out to look very good in this whole thing. Everyone else is all peaceful, and they're like, the Japanese are going to war. But then, of course, in the end, they sort of redeem that character. But I was interested to see how each... I'd actually like to hear what piece of information each culture got that they felt that culture could handle. Like, we, you know, only follow the American story, but there's clearly a strong Australian story, a clearly strong Japanese story.
That'll be the 11 sequels that come out after this.
But the at the end, how heavy, like, when it hit, and that was another thing, is the whole time, like, I'm not sure what's really happening or where it's going to go, but I didn't get tired. I wasn't, like, kind of done with the story. I was super fascinated. And then, of course, you get the ultimate question in the end is, would you choose to, you know, keep going in that narrative or not? And I think it's weird that Jeremy Renner left. I feel like he would have hung out, but he couldn't handle the news, I guess.
I think he was upset at the fact that she knew this and didn't share it with him.
Until later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's not my personality. I'm not, I don't care if people hide things, I guess. I get it.
Yeah. But if, you know, if your wife knew something that would affect you later in the future, and she could tell you now to prepare you.
See, I don't think I want to know. I don't think I'd want to know. I think I just want to...
Especially something like this where it involved your child.
Right,
but like... one of your children. Your wife knew something about one of your children previously before this even happened.
Right. I guess I just wouldn't want it to affect... Now I'm only going to think about that when I think about this. And I'd rather just hit it later and be blissfully joyful. I'm down with being in the Matrix, man. Just leave me plugged in.
Yeah.
I'll eat the steaks. I'll eat the steaks, and I don't want to eat the gruel. I don't need to fight in any war. I don't need to have the crazy, weird things that they do.
The other thing I loved about this movie was the sound. Like, the music, I thought, was phenomenal for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at first, when the aliens came on, like, the noises they made, at first they reminded me of Star Trek IV, thinking it was, like, the whale noises. And
right.
That did the difference. Like, I was like, oh, please don't have this happen, because then I would have ruined it. But then I felt the more that they learned the language, especially the music, I felt like it incorporated their sounds into, like, the score.
Right.
Which I thought was great.
My favorite alien noise from movie ever is Signs. I love the little, like, the little pops and whistles they use. And I remember thinking it was so creepy when they heard of the baby monitor. What do you think about how they decided to actually make the alien look? The metapod or whatever they call it. No, that's one.
And I don't think we actually saw all of the alien. I think that was just a little legs, piece,
right? Yeah.
I think there was more to the creature, but it was kind of weird that it was just this little, almost like a octopus hanging down, or right, like a,
yeah, because you, like, saw the one hunter kind of get up and, like, move.
So I don't think the look of the alien was bad. I don't think they needed to really focus on that, because that wasn't the big focus of the movie. It wasn't the alien itself.
Yeah, I'm always interested in how anyone attempts to portray alternate lives, because I feel like, you know, the bug-eyed alien was super creepy, but like that's been done so much. You know, going back to Signs, which I really did love Signs, but the aliens look so stupid and that, like, that ruined it once you actually saw it.
Your typical alien with the big oval black eyes and the large head.
So I'm always interested to see how people choose to portray their aliens. And I did like the ones in Arrival. I've had to convince so many people to see the movie. And one of the big stepping points is its Rotten Tomatoes score. People are like, okay, maybe I will. Because as soon as I say aliens, people are like, well, I'm not really into aliens. I'm not a
sci-fi.
But
this is different.
I have to go into, it's not really about aliens as much as just these other things. And but the idea that it's a sci-fi movie that is so heavy, like that's the thing. You walk out and it's just like, oh man, I got to process this.
It's heavy, but it's a good movie. It's in my top list for the year. As far as movies go.
Especially of all the blockbusters we've seen. By far.
I told my wife that I think this might be up towards the top of my Oscar list right now.
Do you think it'll have Oscar noms?
Sci-fi is always tough. Amy Adams, I think, could for actress.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it would make the list for Best Picture.
Yeah, I don't think it would either. But there has been a lot of great stuff out this year.
Director's possible.
Well, Interstellar, that was nominated but didn't win, right? But the one with Sandra Bullock was nominated and did win, right?
Gravity
won. Interstellar did not.
So, I mean, it could. Like I said, there's still some time left in this year as far as, you know, I'm sure we'll have an Oscar episode at some point.
Ooh, yes. But do you think there was a message, a main message from the film? I don't usually ask this of all films, but I feel like in this one,
I think one of the big ones is working together, because I honestly think it kind of paralleled very well with the world right now, as far as, you know, no matter what's happening, we need to work together.
It's very Watchmen, like. This big cataclysmic event is supposed to drive people together to make.
Just wondering if we would get to come back to Watchmen.
We always got to come back to Watchmen. It is like that, though. But no, I like that. I like the idea of the moments that you got to see of her with her daughter, even after you knew, you were still saddened by. But
I was saddened, and even after knowing, it was even that. I think it was even heavier because she knows, but it's,
you know. But I thought they did such a good job of like the times were in trees and water and nature, and they were so warm. The shots were so warm. I just thought they did a great job of making that. Oh, one more thing we didn't talk about. Was she having a dream and she saw the alien, right? Remember the one dream she has where she saw the alien in her dream and it like was up there and popped out?
Yes.
So every dream she had was a future dream, right? Every flashback forward.
Flashback.
But what was that? Because it wasn't a flash forward. It wasn't a flashback. So I was interested in why that dream was also seen.
I don't know. I didn't think. Like, I completely just put that dream out of my mind.
Because that's the thing, is you're getting that, okay, these are flash forwards she's having of glimpses of the future. But the whole time, like, well, what's that? Is that, I mean, I guess didn't she wake up and know something after that? Like, was that an alien jumping into her dream and talking to her? Or we don't get the idea that they were putting these images in her mind. We get the idea that she, because in the future, she will have the ability to do this. So now she's starting,
the more and more that she picks up their language, the more this gift.
Right. When it was the realization that she knows that she's going to learn it all, that made her start to learn it all. Right?
Yeah. Anyway, I would highly recommend this movie. It is a heavy movie. So you can't make it out to the movies to see something all the time. You know, we don't always make it out. So that's what we're here for. We're going to give you a few recommendations at home that you two can watch. And our fellow cinema guy Michael had to step out, so he will not be here for our last section.
What are your at-home recommendations?
My keeping with this theme of, you know, smart sci-fi, as we're calling it, I guess, I am going to suggest Ex Machina, really which good. You can stream on Amazon Prime Video right now.
Also, one of the first, I think it was one of the first or second movies me and you saw together.
I think so.
Gives it some sentimental value.
I think that was another one we came out of, and it wasn't, we talked about it, but it's another one you kind of came out and you're just really trying to process and think about what just transpired, you know, especially when you really get deep into, because artificial intelligence and emotions and stuff like that, it can get a little heavy also.
Right.
What about you?
I have three. One is you gotta watch the 4 episodes of the Gilmore Girls that Netflix released. It's awesome. If you're a Gilmore Girls fan, I'm a partial fan. I knew enough to know all the stories, and so it was really good. A little teary.
My wife wants to watch them.
It's good.
We haven't watched them yet.
Second, and this one's real serious, it is a really good, like, I don't know, NBC sort of drama called This Is Us. It has Milo. His last name starts with a V, and it's really long in Italian. He's the guy from Heroes, Rocky's son in Rocky Balboa. Him and Mandy Moore.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Holy cow, it is really good. Like, and we've only watched the first 3 episodes on Hulu, but so good. And then last, I don't know if you remember, but last week when we were talking, I was really stressed about having to watch the new Arrow, the new Flash, the new Supergirl, the new Legends of Tomorrow that are all on Netflix, and I didn't want to watch them, but I found a website called alltimelines.com, and if you go to the Arrowverse, it actually takes those seasons and it shows you how to watch them chronologically together. So you don't feel inundated by 22 episodes of Arrow and 22 episodes of Supergirl. So it's like, oh, watch episode 1 of Flash, now watch episode 1, 2, and 3 of Arrow, now watch episode 5 of this. And then so it kind of takes you down. So you're breaking it up and it's not too bad, but you also get to see it all chronologically, which is really fascinating. And this guy did an amazing job. So those are my 3 at-homes.
Awesome. So thanks for listening. And remember, if you love the show, spread the word.
Spread it.
We love doing this podcast. And maybe sometime we will see you at the movies. Thanks a lot, everybody.